You've decided you're ready to become a parent, and suddenly you're overwhelmed with people who feel they have the right to inform you on the correct way to conceive, give birth, what fears you should have, and the proper way to parent. How do you filter through the opinions? How do you know what's trustworthy information and what's a myth or just plain outdated? Welcome to the Birth Ease Podcast. Join your host, Michelle Smith, and her guests as they cut through the noise and fear by sharing valuable tips, tools, and proven methods that help you connect with your own inner wisdom as you navigate the sacred journey that is pregnancy, birth, and parenthood in a more relaxed and confident manner. This podcast does not constitute, nor is it intended, as medical advice.
Hello, Birth Ease families. Welcome to your reprieve from the noise and the stress that often accompanies pregnancy, birth, and parenthood. I'm your host, Michelle Smith. In today's episode of the Birth Ease Podcast, I am so excited to have with me here today, April Dawn. April has been attending pregnant, laboring, and newly born families for over 30 years. Having attended her first birth while still in high school, she felt ignited by the calling to support families as they bring their babies earthside. In this spirit, she has dedicated her life to the study of all things health, nutrition, healing touch modalities, and the human microbiome, working actively in the naturopathic, chiropractic, and nutritional health arenas. She is a licensed massage therapist, a food healing instructor, and master of the culinary arts. April is a true birth guardian, working as both a midwifery birth assistant and doula in the home, hospital, and birth center settings. Welcome, April Dawn. I'm so excited and grateful to have you here today.
Thank you. I appreciate this experience.
So before we delve into the benefits of massage and reflexology for families, especially during birth, pregnancy, and postpartum, can you share a little bit about the way you found yourself in this type of work as a doula, a massage therapist, and a body worker?
So I was blessed to meet a young lady in high school who did one of the bravest things that I've ever seen anyone do, and that is that she got pregnant in high school and chose to stay in high school and have her baby. And this was quite a long while ago, 31 years maybe a little longer. And she walked through the halls carrying her baby, let her belly grow just as big as can be. And it was the most amazing sight because back then you just didn't do that. And mm-hmm. She'd walk down the halls and it was like the sea of people would part and they would stand off to the sides and stare at her. And she just held her head up and she chose to give her baby up for adoption. She was a very intelligent young lady and she knew she wasn't ready. And I was her only friend. No one would speak to her. No one would look at her in the eyes. And her mother was not a very, attentive human. In fact, the day that she was in labor, she dropped us both off at the curb of the hospital. Wow. And we went inside for her to have her baby. While I was in there, it was like the closest thing to the feeling I had was there was lightning in my veins. Mm. Like I knew that that was what I was born to do. I was born to support this woman, essentially, as she brought her baby earthside. And from that point forward, I knew that's what I was supposed to do. I supported family members, and then family members would tell their friends, and eventually I was doing massage, and then my massage clients would say, hey, do you think maybe you could come to my birth and massage me while I'm in labor? I feel like that would really help me. And so I learned a lot of techniques that were very helpful, specific to labor and birth. And that's what I started doing. And so I started hearing this word, doula, about 20 years ago. Well, maybe 15 years ago. And I heard it and I just let it kind of pass through me. I didn't quite understand what they were saying. I didn't understand that it was work, that you could make a career out of it. I was just doing what I loved. Eventually, I thought, I could actually make a career out of this and I should probably go and get a certification. And that's how I found Common Sense Childbirth, School of Midwifery, and got my certification. And here I am today.
That's a great story. I didn't realize that was the background to how you got into this. I knew you supported mamas informally, but you have all the skills and the knowledge of doing it for 30 years. That story touched me so much. I remember girls being pregnant in high school and everybody just stared and the judgment and the thoughts and the gossip is horrible, horrible. She's very lucky she had you.
I still, to this day, I feel like I think of her every time I step into a labor room because I just feel like it was such an honor for me to be there during that experience. It was such an intimate experience and it was just the two of us and there was no one else there.
Wow.
I mean, even in the moments when the baby was being born, it was like the doctor came in and handed her the baby and then everybody left the room and it was just the two of us. And I can remember her being on the phone holding the baby, beautiful baby girl. And she bravely gave that baby up to a family that needed a child, wanted a child, was ready, and she was not, and she knew it. And then she went on to go to college and the whole nine yards. So
I'm getting teary because my brother's adopted. And for someone to place their child into adoption, that is the biggest gift. And I think one of the most selfless things that anyone can do.
Well, I wasn't going to mention it, but how I became friends with the young lady is I had placed my own son just about 6 months prior for adoption to a family. And that was my first birthing experience.
Wow.
And it was horrible and quite violent and I had no idea what to expect. I was so angry. I grew up in children's homes and foster homes and shelter homes and didn't have any family, didn't really have anyone. I mean, at the time I was in a foster home and they were very supportive of me, yes, but I didn't have anyone to support me should I choose to keep the baby. Not that I thought it was a good idea anyway. And I did get to choose the family and have them be there with me. And they went through the whole thing. And it was an open adoption. And I'm actually very close to him now. He's in my life now. I was just here this past weekend.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. But that experience left me feeling like I never want another human being to experience this level of terror, this level of pain, because bringing a baby earthside should be a beautiful thing. It should be an act of love. It should feel like love. But for me, it felt terrible. It felt like trauma. It felt like I was being victimized, mostly because I was not educated about what was happening to my body. I wasn't educated about what to expect or what was acceptable from the hospital staff. And so some of the things that were done to me were not kind.
And it was just different then.
Yeah.
It was very different.
Absolutely.
And I think we were coming out of the era of which we weren't even really supposed to know our own anatomy. You weren't even supposed to know that you had a uterus or a cervix. You were just supposed to trust all the medical professionals and that we were just too frail. Can't handle this. You just trust us. That era, we were coming into the Lamaze era and informed childbirth. 30-something years ago, I think we were somewhat on the cusp of that. The movement had started, but birth was very, very different then.
Absolutely. I remember I had back labor. I mean,
yes.
If I had been able to have someone there to do the things that I now do, how much easier it would have been for me and how much kinder.
Yeah. Yeah. And being listened to, that's a whole nother subject that we'll do another podcast on, but I am so grateful for you sharing that story. My brother doesn't know his birth family, so I'm very grateful. It was a closed adoption, so I'm so grateful for you that you can have that connection with your child, because I think it's so important for everyone.
It absolutely is. Just kind of almost knowing. I mean, I went for many, many years not knowing myself. Who do I look like? Where do I get this from? That kind of stuff. And I mean, I have since, at 27 years old, I did get to meet my own biological mother. And so I have since been able to kind of get some of those questions answered. And so a lot of that has been very healing and helped me make peace with a lot of things. I think there's a lot that people take for granted in their birth experience and their in being born into their families. Mm-hmm. Just genetics, simple genetics.
Yeah, yeah. My brother and I have had conversations about that. It was really neat when my eldest niece was born, because my brother and I were sitting together and holding her. Our coloring is close enough that the nurse said, oh, I see where she gets her looks from, because my sister-in-law is a redhead. And not that it matters that we look alike, but I know for my brother, it was this moment of seeing himself in his daughter.
Mm.
And
so powerful.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. And that she just assumed, I think it was healing, because for me, it was never an issue. It was never an issue. I remember being in junior high one time and somebody was saying something about adoption and just going on and on and on and on. And I had this weird moment of, because I was arguing with her, and then finally I said, wait a minute, I know what I'm talking about. My brother's adopted. Because it just, it was this weird, I never thought about him being adopted. And in that moment, I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, he is. And I know what I'm talking about, but that's how much he was just my brother. So it's, you know,
there's powerful. So many different ways that we acquire our family. Adoption is one of those beautiful ways mm-hmm. that we can do that. And but I think it is important, you know, if a person wants to know who their family is biologically or who they're connected to biologically, they should definitely get to have that experience if they want to. For me, it answered a lot of questions. For instance, I tried to go into the medical field. Originally, I was going to nursing school. And then I found out at 27 that my mother was a nurse.
Mm.
Okay, so there was that. That was like a light bulb going off. And then I was obsessed. I thought I was going to be a marine biologist for many, many years. Obsessed with dolphins and whales and all of that and the ocean. But I was terrified, terrified of the ocean. I wouldn't go in past my hips. I was like, okay, that's far enough. Always envious of the people who would go out and swim past the waves. But I couldn't do it. And when I met my mother, she told me the story, because she didn't give me up until I was about 4-ish, maybe 5. She told me how she had taken me to the ocean and all of the children were playing. My mother apparently was not the most maternal or attentive. And we were all playing and she was up on the beach with the adults, I'm sure, probably drinking and smoking and doing what they did. And they were calling the children up for lunch. And they had taken us to a specific beach specifically because of dolphins. There were dolphins there. Mm-hmm. And they knew that eventually we would get to see them, maybe. And so all the kids were, of course, down by the ocean waiting for the dolphins, waiting for the dolphins. So they're calling all the children up and all the children are coming, but I'm not. And I'm nowhere to be found. And at that moment, there's a big commotion because here come the dolphins. Mm-hmm. And so everybody on the beach has turned their attention to the dolphins and nobody's paying attention to my mother, who's freaking out because I'm not coming back. And here come the dolphins, here come the dolphins, and they're pushing something. And that something was me.
Oh my gosh.
So apparently, I have no recollection of it, but apparently my life was saved by dolphins.
Wow.
When I was a tiny child.
Well, and it makes sense that you were so drawn to that because it was a link to your mother.
Right, but it just...
dolphins saving you. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful stories. And it ties into what we were talking about earlier with cellular memory.
Exactly. Yeah. There are things that you don't understand why you know it, but it's in your DNA. It's in your memories. There's so many things that are locked in there. And that's one of the things that draws me to the healing touch modality is that we have that cellular memory, and there are so many traumas and so much pain locked into our cells that needs to come out. And that is one of the ways that we release it. And it's one of the reasons why I thoroughly encourage people everywhere to get body work, especially if you have any kind of healing that you're trying to do, any kind of trauma, any kind of pain, get body work, because so much of that is locked into your cells and you can't release it unless you bring it up. Right. I was working on a gentleman once and did a whole body work session. He felt great afterwards. He leaves. He calls me the next day. He's like, something weird. And I said, what is it? And because it was one of his first body work sessions. He'd never had one. And he goes, well, I woke up this morning and my big toe is 3 times the size of what it should be. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, well, odd thing about it. I said, well, has that ever happened before? And he said, you know, the odd thing about it is I had an accident and I smashed my toe about 10 years ago, but I haven't thought about it since. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's see what happens in the next couple of days. In the next couple of days, it went away. But it was like we woke that memory up in his body and his body just brought it up and released it. But completely out of nowhere, his whole toe swells up. He even sent me a picture. It was quite amazing.
Wow. Our bodies are so wise, I think.
Yeah.
So for the listeners that aren't familiar with what body work is, can you give a small explanation and how it relates to massage and reflexology?
So I'm a licensed massage therapist. I have a strong background in Chinese medicine and chiropractic, and that's where I originally got my start, was in chiropractic. When I went to school, we did a lot of Chinese medicine. They don't do that as much anymore. But body work, there's many different kinds. There's specifically most people, when they go get a massage, we are referring to Swedish massage. You know, it's a lot of relaxation, a lot of long, flowy strokes. But there are many different ways to receive body work, all the way down to touch that's almost non-existent, like craniosacral therapy or light touch effleurage that we use a lot in birth. It just kind of releases a lot of feel-good chemicals into the bloodstream, makes the body release the hormones that relax the body. There's also what we use to flush the lymphatic drainage. We use that a lot in cancer therapies. I've studied everything from Russian strokes, which I use a lot of Russian strokes, even in my relaxation massage. They're very specific to healing. You can stretch. A lot of people use a lot of stretching movements. You can use Thai massage therapy. There are so many different ways to apply the healing modality. Some people use Reiki. And it's not even, it's an energy movement. You're not even touching the body, really. It's just kind of a way of moving the energy through the body, all the way down to what I use a lot, which is acupressure, which is kind of the less invasive form of acupuncture. So it's just kind of touching that acupoint on the body and applying pressure to release that area, because there are energy centers that go throughout the body. There's reflexology. I also use that a lot in birth. I've saved many a woman from a C-section or induction by using reflexology and acupressure. So there's many different ways to apply body work. I like to customize it to the human. What does that human need? How much does that human want me to touch them? How much can I touch this human? Where are they in their healing journey? So there's many different ways to do it.
Can you define reflexology?
So reflexology is specifically working with the hands and the feet. Mostly, I like to use the feet. They're very effective. Some people even use the ears, but I feel like that's more specific to acupuncture. So I like to use the feet. There's a map of the entire body that relates to various energy pathways through the body. This is very, very old. 1916, I want to say, that we've been applying this in America. If you go to China, you almost can't throw a stone without hitting a reflexologist. Mm. They know how powerful this medicine is. I mean, just think about how good it feels to have someone rub your feet if you're not squeamish about people touching your feet. A lot of people are. but if you're not and you love it, it feels really good to have your feet rubbed. And it's not just because you're standing on your feet all the time. It's also because you're relaxing the entire body with the foot. Very often in my work as a doula, when I'm working with moms, I spend a lot of time working with the kidney and the liver meridian, specifically the reflex for that in the foot, because those organs are greatly taxed while we're pregnant. We have doubled our blood supply. There's so much more waste matter that we have to deal with. And so I spend a lot of time with those reflexes, and I've even had midwives who have contacted me and asked me to work with their patients or their clients because it's looking like we're going to have to induce this client because she's going into eclamptic. So the kidneys are really struggling, and oftentimes combined with a dietary protocol, we apply this reflexology and we can save the home birth just using those reflex points. I had a nurse that I worked with one time, and when I met her, she said, "I'm getting an epidural. That's it." Right up front, she told me as soon as I met her, and I gave her the information about that, and I didn't try to talk her out of it. It was her plan. Okay. She worked in the medical profession, and she was convinced that having the epidural meant that she would save her baby's life if there was an emergency. Okay. She didn't need to wait to get her epidural. Fine. So we went in, we got her epidural. You know, of course, when you get an epidural, it tends to slow things down. She'd already been in labor for a bit, and the doctor was like, "Well, you know, this has been a while, and we'd like to apply a little Pitocin," and she wasn't opposed to that, but the baby was opposed to that. So the moment that they started pumping the low dose of Pitocin into her body, everything tanked. And of course, now the room, you know how that goes, like the room gets full of people, and the lights are on, and everybody's freaking out, and now she's freaking out. And they're like, "Well, we're just going to try turning off the Pitocin." And of course, his heart rate came back up, and they were like, "Okay, we'll give you a minute." And now she's crying and she's freaking out because she wants a vaginal birth. So I was like, "Listen, do what you do to refocus. This is the birth you want, and this is what we're going to go for." And so I started applying the reflexology and the acupressure immediately, and we brought back the contractions because they had, everything had stopped. Her body freaks out. You have those stress hormones. They're opposing forces to the wonderful oxytocin. Dad comes in. We get him giving her some loving. And it works. It works. These modalities really, really do work.
And I think it's wonderful. And part of why I'm focusing on presenting these different modalities in the podcast, especially as it relates to stress reduction and supporting families during pregnancy and birth and postpartum, is because it's important to know that we do have options and complementary medicine that can really support us in our labors in ways that traditional medicine isn't always aware of. And we can take charge of our journey in a more powerful way. Yes. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Our bodies really are amazing machines. If you give them what they need, they perform miraculously. I'm super, super grateful that we have Western medicine when we need it, but we don't often need it as much as we tend to gravitate towards it. We've been taught there's a pill for this and there's a pill for that. And we oftentimes tend to trust someone else about the body that we've been living in our whole life. You've been living in this body your whole life. Who knows it better than you? So I try to bring that focus back in my work as a doula. This is your body. You get to call the shots about what happens in it. And the wonderful hormones that work when we're having a baby, we have a whole pharmacy that we're not even aware exists. And that pharmacy is the most powerful when we go in the transition point of labor. And I know you've seen it many, many times, how it's almost like a trance that we go into, you know, because there's more hormones flowing through our bloodstream than we've ever had in our entire life all at the same time. And if we trust it and we allow it, it's amazing what it can do. But there is an opposing force to all those beautiful hormones, and that's cortisol, the stress hormones. Those adrenals get pumping and it shuts down that pharmacy. And you can see it even in nature. If you see a deer and she's relaxed and she's giving birth, but then she hears a predator coming, she shuts it down, you know, and she goes somewhere else. And then she'll relax and let it happen again. But we do the same thing. We are animals. We don't like to admit that, but we are animals.
Yep. We're mammals. Mm-hmm. We are. And we're nesting mammals too, which is a whole nother subject, how we surrender our babies over sometimes. But I think there's so much conditioning out there that tells us that we can't trust ourselves and we can't trust our bodies and we mm-hmm. can't trust mm-hmm. our own inner wisdom or even trust our baby. Because I personally feel our bodies are very wise and our mm-hmm. babies are very, very wise.
Yes.
And we need, I don't know if that's the word I want, but it's important to find caregivers, medical providers that believe in your ability to trust your body, listen to your body, and listen to your baby.
Absolutely.
And that's hard to find sometimes these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's also because they themselves have not been taught. It's like we go into medical school and we almost unlearn the wisdom of our own bodies. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, why would we need it? We have all of these things at our disposal. We have this drug and this machine and a scalpel. Let's not forget. We have all these things. Why do we need to trust our body? Don't worry about it. I got this covered. You're fine. You don't need to know anything else. And that is probably one of the most common complaints I hear with my moms when they're talking about their providers specific to obstetrics. I do hear a lot of families say that I'm trying to talk about this specific concern that I have and I just feel like I get shut down and I don't get enough information. That's they constantly are like, thank you so much for explaining that because my doctor won't take the time. And I get it. They're busy. They often don't have the time. These big practices, they're busy.
They are.
And it took me many, many years to understand that that patient load is something serious.
It is. You know? It is.
And that, I think, should be a primary concern for moms. Do you want to be a file, a number, just another patient? Or do you want that person that comes to help you welcome your new family member to know your name, to know your history, to know your likes and dislikes and fears and...
Yeah.
And some, do you want a familiar face?
And some people feel safer in the hospital and feel safer with that kind of practice, and others want that more personalized touch. But I feel like no matter where you give birth, it's important to find providers that will listen.
To you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Listening is huge. It's huge.
It's a skill.
It's not a skill many people have, actually.
We have to develop it.
So how can, you touched on it, but how can massage and reflexology benefit families during their pregnancy or maybe even before they want to conceive and postpartum? What are those specific benefits?
As far as, I use a lot of reflexology and acupressure with my families, and specific to conception, you've probably talked to other providers who've touched on this. There are energy pathways through the body, and some of them can be blocked. And let's just say with acupressure, for instance, it's kind of like, you know, you have an energy pathway running through the body, and when it's blocked, it's kind of like when you're out in your garden and you're watering, and all of a sudden the flow of water isn't coming out. And you look and you trace that hose, and that's the energy pathway, and there's a block. And you just yank that hose and you undo that kink in the hose, and suddenly we have flow again. And that's kind of what we do with acupressure and reflexology and massage even. You're unblocking those energy pathways so that the energy can flow more efficiently to your organs, to your endocrine system, things of that nature. You know, even something as simple as you had a trauma maybe when you were 15 years old in your gut, for instance, and your body's been holding that closed all this time, and the flow to those organs that need the energy so you can conceive has been blocked. And then we do some body work and we do some reflexology and we do things of that nature. And we restore the energy flow. And now all of a sudden you could conceive. So that's very helpful in that way. Again, I talked about my mama that we saved her birth, even postpartum. As soon as a mom has delivered, I do a reflexology treatment to encourage her endocrine system to go into closing up the body and then bringing in the milk. Mm-hmm. So that we don't have issues with that. And that is also very effective, not to mention that it feels really good after you've gone through a whole labor. So those are some of the ways that I use it. And then I think it's very, very important. I talk to my moms a lot about receiving massage while they are pregnant, because stress, it has so many contraindications. And when we are very, very stressed, our body is spending so much energy and so much of the nutrition that we're putting into it, just trying to keep our bodies stable, that kind of takes away from the flow of nutrition to our unborn baby and to our bodies. I mean, your body doesn't care what you need when you're pregnant.
Right.
It does not care. It's all about the baby. Baby gets what baby needs. Sorry for you, mama. If you need something, I'm taking this. So there's that.
Well, and two, from what I understand, if the muscles are tight or constricted, it can actually pull on our spine. It can pull on our pelvis. It can misalign things. And that can inhibit the descent and the birth of the baby.
Absolutely. And I do. That is one of the reasons why I like to work on my mamas when they're pregnant. Just to keep those hips balanced. Get the everything nice and open. And one of the things I say over and over and over, and why I have such a great appreciation for what you do, is that the deeper the relaxation, the easier and faster the birth. So just keeping a mom relaxed while she's laboring makes things just happen and flow so much easier. My own first labor was 34 hours and then pushing for 4 hours before they finally sectioned me. But had I had someone there to relax me, it probably would have been significantly easier.
Yeah. This is kind of segueing again out of our topic, but it will circle back. And even if we can address those traumas and have providers that are sensitive to our needs.
Absolutely.
And understanding that our body remembers.
Yes.
And to be considerate of that and understand a person's history. And for that pregnant family, if they're able to do some of that work to help release and heal it as best they can before they give birth and be in that more supportive environment. Absolutely. So that if they get triggered, that team,
we can refocus.
Yeah, can help you refocus. I did a birth recently, attended a birth recently, and the sound of the pool being blown up triggered some trauma in her. I just felt so grateful that we had worked together before. A midwife had worked with her. I know what it's like to get triggered in your labor and to be able to hold that space for her. But it snuck up on her a little bit. She was not a little bit, it did. It snuck up on her. And
as it does.
Yeah, but I feel like our bodies are wise. And her body knew. And because of the work that she's been doing, that it was an opportunity to release that and heal it.
There's so many things happening in labor, you know, specific to cellular memory. That is one of the reasons why I have that discussion with my families before we go into the space of birth is, have you had any traumas? Have you experienced any abuse or accidents or surgeries or any of that? Because I want to know what we might see in the space of labor. And if there's an opportunity for us to bring that up, talk about it, and maybe release it before we get into that space. So it's not a trauma and it's not interfering with new life. Everything that a mother experiences, the baby experiences. We're literally bathing our child in the emotions that we're experiencing at any moment. That becomes part of their cellular memory. They don't even understand, but there's this beautiful thing that happens while we're in labor, and we see it a lot during the transition phase of labor, where the limbic system of the brain, which is always locked and we can't access it, while we're in transition, that part of our brain flips open and we can access those on a cellular level, not necessarily consciously, but it's kind of, I think it's beautiful when I see it happen. I always know when it's happening. It's like our ancestors are coming to help us to birth our babies. It's like your grandmother did this, your mother did this, your great grandmother, it's all there.
It's instinctive. I feel like we go into that instinctive part of our brain. I call it labor land.
Yes.
You go into labor land and all of those endorphins are flowing specifically. I don't know if specifically is the right word, but most commonly when you're doing a natural birth.
Mm-hmm.
And because anesthesia can interfere with our endorphins, and the endorphins are flowing.
Yes.
And women can be on an endorphin high.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I know you've seen it. And it's the most beautiful thing.
Oh my goodness,
yes. And women will start to say, even if they had a good night's sleep, and labor's hard work, I'm not going to discount that, but even if they've had a good night's sleep, they start to move into that transition and they'll start to say, I am so sleepy. I'm so tired.
Yes.
I'm just so sleepy. And that's the endorphins causing her to start to go more inward.
Let go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And surrender to the birth.
And very often that's the time when you'll see a mom where she almost knocks out. Mm-hmm. You think she's sleeping, but she's not.
And or they sleep for a minute.
Yeah.
I've seen women sleep for a minute between contractions.
I heard a midwife once tell me that that's when she's going to tether the soul of her baby. She's in it, you know, she's simultaneously in and out of her body at the same time. And I love seeing that. It's so beautiful.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And they can be almost asleep, or sometimes moms are struggling through those contractions and pushing, and then the minute the baby is born, it's like this huge shift.
It's such a shift. It's amazing. Yeah.
It really is.
And you know, how we can just forget all about everything that we just experienced. I remember when I gave birth vaginally the first time, it was like, I could have picked up a car and thrown it. I could have done anything in that moment. I just had so much energy. And I mean, I had been up for a very long time, but I could have done anything.
Our hormones are so powerful, and that process of birth is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our role as birth keepers, birth guardians, is to honor that process.
Absolutely.
And not interfere. And sometimes we need to step in. Sometimes a cesarean is necessary. Sometimes a little Pitocin can be necessary.
Absolutely.
But I think the less we interfere and the more we can create that safe space for the mom to surrender and tap into that powerful hormonal orchestration, the smoother the labor goes.
And you said it, and that's what labor is. And it absolutely requires surrender. You're not going to release your baby without it. In regards to emotion and how it gets locked into our cells, and why I use massage to release a lot of that. I recently had a labor with a mom who had lost her partner a few months into her pregnancy. And she had, of course, you shift into the space of, okay, now I have this new human that I need to focus on. And so she just kind of set all of it aside. Didn't want to deal with it, just kind of dealt with it in silence. And I didn't get to work with this woman until she was very far advanced into her pregnancy. As a result, there are a lot of medical conditions that come as a result of blocked emotion, blocked energy. When we lock it into our bodies and we don't let it come out, it creates physical conditions, physical things happen. And for this mom, her kidneys were very affected. And some would say, well, she was pissed off. And I think, yeah, why wouldn't she be? She had lots of reasons to feel angry. But this particular mom would not cry. We would try to talk to her. And so she's in labor and she's stuck at 5 to 6 centimeters, stuck. Hours and hours and hours. And here it's been 6 hours. She's still in the same spot. 8 hours go by. She's still in the same spot. And then I had a wonderful, wonderful human that had volunteered to make this mom a quilt from her deceased partner's clothing. And she contacted me miraculously while this woman was laboring and said, the quilt's ready. Can I bring it to you? And I was like, absolutely. I'm in the hospital. This is where we are. So I ran down to the lobby and I met this woman and I got the quilt and all these other beautiful things that she'd made for this mama, including some dog tags with the picture of the woman and her partner. And I brought them up to her and I said, honey, the quilt that I told you about is ready and would you like to see it? I gave it to her and of course the whole room, I'm sobbing, you know, everyone in the room is sobbing, she's sobbing. And it was just the most beautiful release of emotion. And
divine
we went.
Timing, really. Yeah.
Divine the timing, timing, divine timing for sure. It was absolute divine timing. And I just felt so privileged and honored to be in that healing moment. But we went from 5 to 6 centimeters to 9.5 centimeters, like instantly.
Wow.
She just let go. Because I'd been saying, honey, you have to let him go. You have to let your baby, you have to release, you have to let him go. You need to cry. And she needed it. And that's exactly what happened. And she just somehow found it in her to muster it all up. When she saw that quilt, when she saw his face, and the most beautiful thing in the world happened, and she took that dog tag and she stuck it to her thigh and she looked at his face and she pushed their baby out. And it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. But she needed that release.
I guess all the energy would be, you're tight and constricted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes tears are the best release.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
They are. They are. And two, our bodies know how to grieve and mm-hmm. they know how to give birth. We need to allow the process to happen.
Yeah.
That's the work, but sometimes that work seems scary or sometimes we don't want to let go of the grief because we feel like that's our connection and making the grief wrong. And that's not what it is. We just want to release the places where we're holding the grief or right. the fear mm-hmm. in our body. And when you can release that, then movement
yeah.
can happen.
Yeah.
And healing can happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I oftentimes experience that a lot in my body work. I had a mama who desperately wanted a child and couldn't conceive and struggled. And we did a lot of work with her working in her front line where there were a lot of blockages. And of course, you know, we did a lot of dietary changes and things with her as well, cleaning it up and working through things that were blocking the endocrine system. And she was working on the front line and found some blockages and just went into them with her very gently and waited. And she started sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And so much got released on that table that day that I knew absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt she was going to have a baby soon.
Mm.
And she came in the next month and she was pregnant.
Wow.
Miraculously. But it's just sometimes you gotta cry. And sometimes it takes the power of that touch to release what you're holding, bringing it up to the surface so that you can recognize it, see it. Because sometimes that's all the emotion wants. It just wants you to see it and recognize it and love it and let it go. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was for this woman.
In the medical community, would have been diagnosed as unexplained infertility.
Right. And then we would have, yeah, a lot of intervention, hormone injections, blah, 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 blah. A lot of expensive interventions as well. And that are oftentimes even more damaging to the mother long term.
Right. Right. And that's why I feel like acupuncture, massage, reflexology, body work.
Acupuncture is powerful.
Hypnosis, it all can work together mm-hmm. when a family is wanting to conceive
absolutely
a baby. And of course, during pregnancy and postpartum and throughout life, really. But if you had one bit of wisdom or something you would just really like to share with the Birthies families, what would that be?
I would say, before anything, massage is not a luxury. It's not. It's healthcare. It's healthcare because you're going to pay for your health at the front or the back, and you get to pick which way it's going to go. And if you pay for it forward, then you get to enjoy the benefits and the luxury of feeling health and vitality and strength and emotional clarity and so many other things. Your body works for you instead of you having to work against your body. So many people look at massage as a luxury and it's, oh, I can't afford that. But then you're going to have to afford interventions and drugs and doctors and things of that nature. When we could just pay it forward and then we could have better function of our entire bodies. Your whole body works. Your metabolism is strengthened. Your kidneys work better when your kidneys are your chi. One of the best things that massage does for you is it strengthens your kidney meridian. That's why you have to pee so bad when you get off a massage table. We help you get rid of waste better. I mean, there's so many things that massage does for you besides the fact that it just plain feels good.
Right. Yeah. And it brings you back into balance. It helps exactly. the body rebalance itself.
And again, if you are in that relaxed state and you get out of the constant stress mode that this society perpetuates, so many things work better in your body. Meditation is key. Massage is key. All of these healing modalities, they're all key to a healthier, more vital you.
I agree. Thank you so much for our time together and your wisdom. Thank you for being so open and vulnerable in our conversation. I truly appreciate it, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, Michelle.
And if someone would like to get in touch with you, how could they do that?
I am The Mothered Mama. You can find me. I am on Facebook, so that's probably the easiest way for people to find me. I'm on Instagram as well. I am The Mothered Mama.
Okay, and we'll have the links in the show notes. So thank you all for listening, and continue to listen to your inner wisdom. Listen to your body. Listen to yourself. Listen to your children.
For more great conversations like these, or to find out more information and access Michelle's library of amazing guests, go to birthieservices.com/podcast. For more information on the Birthies Method, Michelle's classes, meditations, and other services, go to birthieservices.com.